JBQ. KK4JBQ. This is KI4LZR.
KI, this is KK4JBQ. Hello, Andy.
Well, you heard me on HT last night. Did you get my message I sent to you over the phone?
Sent me a message over the telephone?
I sure did, on your main phone. I left it on voicemail answer machine. However, we kind of got a different type phone system in up here where I live at, and now I can make long-distance phone calls. And I had called you to tell you what I don't think you heard because Patrick, when I unkeyed, he was already transmitting last night. I was going to tell you that KJ4 was Jamie's call. Up there at Chesney. KJ4, I can't remember his suffix right now, but him and Lynn, you know, went up there on 145-19 a lot here in the late evening up there, and they racked you up there. Him, Jamie, and a lot of others, since no one rarely gets on this late anymore.
Well, Andy, I wasn't aware that you had left a message. Our phones are kind of funky here. The house phone, not the cell phone, but the landline phone, is not doing real well. It's especially when it comes to receiving messages. And Donna's always been confused about it, but now I'm confused about it, why it doesn't work as it should. We're talking about giving that one up. But anyway, I wasn't aware that you had left a message, so this is new to me. I have listened. If you're talking about where do I listen to those guys? It's on the Mount Mitchell repeater. And Jamie is there from time to time. I only listen in. I don't know that I can even make it to Mitchell. But I do listen in on occasion. Sorry I didn't get your message.
Well, the IVID. Now you see why we need what we had here. But the thing is here, what we had here was sure enough ancient. You know, of the very, very old days when they couldn't call hardly anywhere. It got up here over the past 3 or 4 months. We could make calls out, but we couldn't receive calls reliably. And not even for just 3 miles from here. Someone could call us and it would be like that, so I didn't know yours is that way, but I know last night when I unkeyed, Patrick was already talking, so I didn't know if you had heard that last part or not about that. And you about KJ4CTD, there's another one you might want to check with, too. I've seen him at a couple of the events up here at Equestrian Park back a month or two ago, and about a year and a half ago, up at the Winter Field Day, up at FHJ Jeans, KO4ZEW, Ben. Now, I'm not certain of this, but he could very well be the one doing the website. Now, I'm not sure of this, but it's possible.
Well, I was, I hope this is, I'm clear now on what this is about. I'm going to back up a little bit, probably say some things you've already heard me say, but just to make sure that you and I both understand, I was hoping that Gary's efforts, KI4DOS's efforts, to put up a list of repeaters in the area. And I guess this area now is, because it involves someone in North Carolina, it'll be quite a number of repeaters. I've got a partial list myself, but it's not very well written. It's not up to date. Some changes certainly have been made since it was drafted, and there's no date on it. So a new list that's properly put together would be a great help to everybody. But then I go to the Brar's website, and that thing has changed to it used to be interesting to be there. I don't know why, but it seems very flat now. The website, it acts differently. Each click will take you one step to the next page, rather than offering you a menu right on the, what I guess in web page talk, it's the home page. That should be where you can navigate around the site. But this one has been changed, and to my notion at least, it's a change not for the better. Well, I go pecking around on that thing, and I couldn't find any tab, any click, where I could find a list of resources. And that's something that when I was member of the club, we were always trying to add to as a benefit to the users of the website. A place where, well, for instance, you could keep a list of local repeaters. I couldn't find it. Well, that's because it's not there. The website's been changed that much. It's a little bit about the club, and they're offering merchandising now. I don't know if it's coffee cups or t-shirts or I don't know. They're monetizing the site, you know, and that's, I suppose, to be expected. And this is not the place for me to argue, I mean, not argue, but to bring up some points that disturb me. It's just not the place to do that. But anyhow, I think a resource tab is, I think it was deleted, maybe for cause, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't used that much. You know, if you are a webmaster, you've made the web page and you keep track of it, you know the traffic that goes to every screen. There's, you know, it's generated by the web page program. You go in there and you see that three people, I'm just making this up, that three people visited that particular tab or page on the website last month, you might think that it's not worthwhile keeping it. You know what I'm saying? You reduce the size and you reduce the amount that you have to pay for a service provider to keep the web page, to host the web page. Anyway, that's KK4JBQ. Back to you, Andy.
Well, see, well, if it weren't for the fact that I've done a lot of pre-net check-ins, I wouldn't know it either, but that's just how I know it. It's been like it is right now, I'm saying, as far as the site, the way it is now, for about 3 to 5 years now.
Well, it may be that long since I went searching for a resource tab. you know, I'm not active at all in the club. That's my own choice. And I hadn't realized that it's been that way for that long. But you know, it's a little bit troubling, but I can't place things in time as well as perhaps others can do. You know, something that happened 10 years ago, it might seem like it was 8 years ago, or maybe it was 12. I just don't know. Part of it is, as I learned with my sister, who has passed now, but while she lived, she could tell you, my sister could tell you, the birth date and the birth and the date of birth, date of death of everybody in our family. It was a very important thing for her to remember when people were born, so you could celebrate their birthday, of course, and when they passed. But right now, sitting here, I couldn't tell you when my mother passed, when my father passed, when my sister passed. I couldn't tell you. It hurts every time I think of those dates and when it occurred. I can ask Donna when her people passed, and she's got that at, you know, it rolls right off her tongue. But I've got a block about that. I do, and I don't commit those things to memory. Whichever way you do it, don't think anything, you know, don't think bad of me, but you have a great memory for many things, so anyway, so this may, the way I think about dates, personal dates, you might call them, that may spill over into other things, because the brain is it's a fascinating thing. You treat it one way and get used to that, and then you start dismissing other things that might be more important for you to remember. And then you get older. You know, I'm coming up on 73 this year. You get older, and it becomes, a different matter to hold on to the memory of things. Your memory slips, and you get a little fuzzy about things. It's inevitable that this happens to all people, I suppose. Given enough time, you know, it happens to everybody, I reckon. But anyway, I hadn't realized that it had been that long. So it was perhaps, early 2000s when they changed it. I thought I'd been there since. And I'm just talking about the home page. You know, you click on the URL, it takes you to the first page, that's called the home page. That has changed dramatically. And for me, it was recent, a recent change, not any 5 years ago, but recent. Anyhow, I was just kind of, I was hoping to be looking after the interest of posting this resource for other hams in the area to use. But there doesn't seem to be any place on that website, on the Brar's website, to contain information like that, that could be shared among hams. It's, the website doesn't seem to be made for that anymore. So I just wanted to sound an alarm. KK4JBQ.
Well, if I hadn't been doing as many pre-nats in recent times, I would have missed a lot myself. Just like out about that, right up there, not the field day that's coming up, but that happened a couple of months ago. That's on the homepage there about that radio rally event. Every now and then, it doesn't hurt to do, if nothing else, do a pre-net check-in just to look at the site. That's kind of how I've kept up with a certain amount of it. You know, you got to go there to, on the site to do that, and you see various things like that where it said 2024 radio rally event there. I saw that and read about that, and it's been about 3 to 5, and if it ain't KJ4CTD, I get the feeling it's probably KO4, one I was just telling you. I've seen him at a couple of events, and he does the pre-net check-in. He's a fairly new ham, but it could be him. And the calls you was thinking about last night when you was talking to Patrick, W5MFC and KD5PCB. Like I said, I was hearing this, but at the time, I didn't have his fix station hooked up, and it didn't sound like that the second part of what I said was heard, so.
Well, whatever the case, that's just a convenient place. There are other places where this could be stored, and it's just that when this is available to people, it's going to take a little work to put it together and the cooperation of a few people, so some effort should be made to make that available to folks. I know when I was vice president of the club, member benefits were very important to me. I brought it up often in the council meetings. Didn't seem like anybody else was that concerned, but I knew that being concerned was just how I was going to be. Concerned that member benefits is what the council was all about. They seemed to think differently about a lot of things, so I left the thing entirely behind me. But anyhow, if you're a member of an organization and information like this, which, as I say, it's a bit of work to put it together to begin with and to keep it up to date. Somebody's going to have to, you know, make an additional page on the website or wherever it's kept. Anyway, I just hope that people care enough to put it out there. There are folks who are, you know, brand new folks all the time. They're wondering what is this 6600 net, they might say. Well, if you're active on that Mount Mitchell repeater, their elevation for that repeater is 6,600 feet. The mountain is quite a bit of that. But they call their net the 6,600 net. I listen to it on occasion. I'm not sure I can get in myself, but I usually run no more than 20 watts here. I just run a mobile rig and not a very... Well, the antenna I got right now was a gift from another ham, and it works a lot better than anything I've had before. But that's a big task to go all the way up into North Carolina. So anyhow, have we covered everything that was in your message that I didn't get? KK4JBQ.
JI4LZI. I rarely can get into 145.19 here at Caesar's Head. The Bear Mountain at Destin Zone does a lot of hurting on me trying to get into it, even with 50 watts. 3/4 of the time, there's no getting into it from here where I'm at. even with 50 watts. I can hear it a lot of times, but rarely can I get into it. But there's times I'll be monitoring when I'm here through the transceiver or the scanner. I'll hear that Lynn y'all talking about, and I'll hear Jamie up there and some others up there on 145.19 real late. At night on that machine, especially during the week. Because there's one up there, I don't know where he lives at, other than somewhere in North Carolina. He's always going to work. From the way it sounds like to me, works the third shift during that time of night, too, going to work. He gets on that machine up there with them. And being that this machine ain't active much late anymore, that's where Jamie, over chasing, where he's at most of the time anymore nowadays. And as Derek told you last night, we do have two nets over here. He's right about that. Monday night, and as he told you, on multiple repeaters. And on Tuesday night, it's very similar to that, you know. The Monday night net kind of started, I guess, 3 or 4 years ago. The one that's on Thursday night, it dates back to, boy, what was that? I got my license in 05. I got this radio, and I'm on here back in 06. And for the longest time, I done the 440. Back at the time, the net was just 442, 400. And that was the only place it was. And at that time, it was on Tuesday night. And then, I guess, let's see, probably about 3 or 4 years later, when others started doing it, it was shifted from Tuesday night at 7:30 over to Tuesday night at 8. And there's others now, too, that does it, plus a lot more repeaters linked into it now. So, as Gary told you, there's multiple repeaters on these two nets over here on Monday and Tuesday, not linked in together, and that's just over here. As he said, there's plenty of others, and we can get into some of them, you know, like you were saying about, and myself here too, like Sid's net up here on the 6-4. I can run 50 watts here and run everything I got. I still can't see that 6-4 machine up there up. No way in this world can I key it up, but I can hear it sometimes. So some of the nets you'll hear get into it and some you won't, but as you said about, y'all talked about last night about compiling the list, that's going to take a lot of checking around. And there was a place, now I've noticed on the ARRL website, you know, the man here that's the honcho here for the state, he goes down and puts down on that when your vote count from where the net managers have sent it in to the guy here on the state level, like Rusty used to be years ago, W2T. You can go through that and look at some of the nets that there is. Well, it don't list everything, but everything mainly on 2 meters and 70 centimeters that's right in our area here. Now, I don't miss HF too much, other than maybe the sideband net. And there's a CW net on there, but that right particular thing right there is the closest thing that I know of about a list that there is. And but you would have to go on where at the end of every month would I get to give the total number of check-ins for the particular net.
Well, I think it's an important piece of information that every ham, especially a new ham, is, it would be a benefit to have access to that. I felt so strongly about that when I was working with the club, and this goes back, oh my, I don't know what my year of separation was, you might say that way. Let's say it was 6 years ago. Just to talk about it. So, when I was vice president of the club, I took on the responsibility of looking after the membership. I saw that that wasn't happening, and I says, well, I'll take care of that. So, I thought it would be good to develop a resource page on the website. There it was. And then you've got to populate that with something, you know. So, list of repeaters. I started gathering all the things that online that I could find. I went to the repeater book and made sure that I had recent information for the ones that other people have tried to do this, you see, over the years. And maybe what had survived was a list of 15, a list of 20. There were duplicates. There were unique ones in some of these lists. So I tried to put it all together. And, well, it got to be quite a number of pages if you were to print it out. So I decided, well, I'll just make a CD. That was back when compact discs were in wide use. These days, computers do not come with CD. They don't come with a drive that you can put a CD into. I don't know what the world's coming to. But anyway, new members of the club got a new member packet, which included this CD. And it was all kinds of information on it. Everything from an image of the club logo and a little history about how that was selected. It was a contest. I don't know if you were aware of that, but a contest was conducted to among club members to design a new patch. And from the patch, they took the image on the patch and included that on the website. The T-Bark Club has done the same thing. There was a patch developed by a member. So this is a common thing to do, and it's now it's on the homepage of the T-Bark website. Common thing, I suppose. But this CD had a whole bunch of good stuff on it, especially for a new member. So anyway, concern about that has sort of slipped through the cracks. This list, if it were available on somebody's website, it'd be good for hams in the area to have that, especially new ones. KK4JBQ.
Well, see, about that I was just talking about, would a net manager turn that in? The only way you get that is you got to be an ARRL member. If you're not an ARRL member, you won't get that. But they send that out, seems like, if I remember. But on a monthly basis, they'll send out an email out about such as about the number of check-ins the Nets have had that the net manager's turned in to the guy in the state, and it went through the process, and a month later it comes out, but you've got to be an ARRL member to get that. And if you're not an ARRL member, as you said about new people coming in, it may not be that. You're not going to see that or know that. You've got to be a member to get that and see that.
You say it's true. I am a member of the league. And I do get an email that contains what you're talking about. But such information, that could be shared on the club's website too, you know. I don't know what's involved in maintaining a website, but I do know almost for certain, because I haven't had the conversations with the people who keep it, that's the webmaster they call it, who keeps the website up to date. And to keep them, to keep it all honest and above board, good websites will, on the home page, at the very bottom of the first page you come to from the URL, it'll tell you when, it'll give you the date that the website was last updated. Now, that could be any little old change. But certainly, if years go by and that date doesn't change, then the web page is pretty static. Nobody's attending to it. And opportunities have gone by if a lot of time passes and nobody updates the website. It's not inexpensive, as you might imagine, to keep a website, producing it in the first place. You know, you can get volunteers to do that, and some sites are voluntarily hosted on the web, but here again, you're probably encouraged to keep it small, because it takes, you know, somebody pays for that. Somebody somewhere pays for the storage and the dissemination of the web page every time it's requested. It goes over the net, and that, you know, that stirs up a lot of electrons. And if there's money to be made, people, you know, there are people out there that are just, they live for that. I've known people, truly, who live exclusively for that. If they're not making money, they're not happy. I mean, they get their happiness from nothing else. It's sad in a way, but that's not really the point of what we're talking about. Hey, you have to watch me, Andy. I can get off on a tangent. Anyhow, this webpage, I believe I observed, I can't be for sure of that, but, and I didn't go to all the pages. There may be a particular page where the recent update, the proper place for it is the first page, the bottom of the first page, should indicate when it was last updated. That's assurance. It may or may not mean anything, but to me, it's assurance that somebody went in there and changed that date. They may do it routinely and defeat the whole purpose of it, or they may do it when they edit the page and before they leave that or save it back in storage to be delivered, they change the date. So they can have that done automatically. You know, the computer can take over the responsibility to change that date. And I've been to sites, honestly, that are so static, decades maybe have gone by. Decades. It hasn't been updated. And there are some pages, really, that are history. And maybe the what it's talking about is no longer a thing. You know, it's no, it may still be available on the net, but the date stays the same. So it tells a story. Just that date. Don't know if you were aware of such things as that. But anyhow, I used to go to that page every day. And but a lot of things change. I mean, they change without it consulting anybody else. Whoever is, you know, responsible, they change it, and there it is. But thank you for your call. Sorry I missed it. I'll go searching now to see if it's buried in the phone somewhere. And thank you for following it up with this phone call so that I could be clued in. It's up to other people to bring this list together and to get it posted on a website somewhere. I'm just trying to remind people that this is a thing and that we should see that it's done. I guess I'm just the, what is it, the pebble under the blanket. Don't know if you've ever gone out and slept on the ground. Or maybe even a a picnic on the ground. If there's a pebble underneath the blanket and you're sitting on that, well, that's something to change. It's an irritant. Used to be, the same kind of thing used to be said about a cowboy and his saddle, you know. If the horse is acting up and you don't give it any other reason, it could be that there's a burr. They use woolen blankets underneath the saddle to cushion with contact with the horse's back, you know. And sometimes a burr can get in that. And that'll irritate the horse. That's probably information you don't care about. KK4JBQ.
KI4LZI, when it comes to things involving the web here and websites and all, I don't know the legalities one way or the other, you know. I'm not a webmaster. But you're talking about those dates. You were talking about that. That reminds me of our website over here, WX4PG.org. You see those dates on it, on about every page in the homepage in particularly. So, now, I wondered why that was for. Now that you said that, now I know why. But the thing is, if you're not a member ARRL, you won't get that email that they send out that has all that about all the nets here in the area. And say, like, for someone that gets a license and don't get an ARRL, they're not going to get that email sent to them to know about it. So, I'll agree, it wouldn't be a bad idea to have it on a web page, but when it comes to legalities and all like that, I'm not the one to ask about that. I'll tell you who our webmaster is over here for WX4PG. That's WB4ALM over here. Bill Turner, he's the one that takes care of ours, but there again, as he has told me, there's a lot of legalities about that and calls too, so I'm no expert on all that, but when it comes to nets and things, that's what has always popped into my head that comes on a monthly basis when all the net reports for the month turned in, just like I told you back many decades ago when this and here used to average 2,000 check-ins a month. It did. Rarely did it get under 65, but that was long, long ago when there was no internet or no cell phones. Long, and I wasn't even licensed for not many years when it was still going on, so most of it was long ago.
Well, Andy, you and I can sit here and talk about the things we have lost. You're aware of some things, and I'm aware of some things, and we could share that. But I don't know what the purpose would be, you know. The older I get, the more, you know, the people around me are getting older, too. Members of my family, my wife, we don't have children, so that's not a, I won't bring that up, but people around you get older, and what changes constantly is the world outside, and some changes are for the better, and one should welcome good changes. But a whole bunch of them can be seen by folks who lived in a different time as loss. And you just have to accept the loss sometimes. It's a sad thing, but it's the truth. And truth can't be made into anything else. Change is inevitable. If tomorrow comes, it will be a different day and it'll change. Some things will change, and maybe some things important change, they go away. And maybe for good reason. You know, this list, there's As Gary reminded me, and I think you were in on this, you heard this part of the conversation, Gary reminded me that it wasn't his idea. It was a young female ham up in North Carolina who wondered, isn't there not a list of the nets in North Carolina, South Carolina, you know, in this area? Well, there may have been many efforts to make a list, but nobody has cooperated and put it in a central place. So the moment that's done, a lot of people will benefit. Now, that's important to some people, and it's very unimportant to other people, you know. Some people feel, this isn't me, but some people feel that if people want to know something, just go scratching for it. You'll find it just the way I did it, you know. That's what people say, and that's what they think. I think make it easier, you know. Don't make it hard on people. Make it easier. If you've got nightly, like the Blue Ridge Net is every night of the week of the year, 365 nets in a year, and some are only 52 nets in a year. There's one net each week. You're gonna miss that. You may never be there at the right time to catch that. You may listen long and hard, but you listen, well, you can scan, but you can still be confused as to what you're listening to if scanning is all you do. I've never had a scanner, but the radio I have will scan. It does it quite fast, but it only scans what you have programmed into. It doesn't scan a database. No, it scans what you have programmed into the radio. I find that beneficial to make a list of nets that I have visited, and then to scan for those nets if I have some free time and I want to sit down by the radio. And it'll stop there. If some conversation's going on that I want to hear, then I just press another button and it stops right there. And I can listen for a while and maybe I'll join in. That's part of what this thing is about. It's just a little part, sure, but that's part of what this is about. Well, Andy, I'm... golly, Bill. It's 3 minutes before you need to have your medication. And my hand is going numb again. To talk problem. Squeezing his microphone. It becomes a problem for me. You have yourself a good night, and I appreciate you calling. We'll talk again soon. This is KK4JBQ. I'll be clear and gone after your final.
Y'all got a good idea about that, but like I said, I'm no webmaster. I don't know whether there's some proprietary thing involved with that, with ARRL, but, and like I said, if you're not a member, you're not going to get that email to see that, but that's the best that I know of when it comes to finding out about the nets, because they send an email every month or so out. Whether that managers have turned in the check-ins, and there's a whole list there of nets. Sideband net, the CW net that's on HF, and a number of the VHF, UHF nets, and that's about the only thing I know of for sure to start with. So, yeah, I got to go take some insulin. KK4JBQ, KI4LZI. I gotta go get answers.